Okay, great. I have that in my notes. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start the introduction. And yeah, just a few questions. Perfect.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Aria Zaruba, and I am interviewing Dr. Michael Phillips, a U.S. history professor at Collin College and author of the book White Metropolis, Race, Ethnicity, and Religion in Dallas, 1841 to 2001. Today is November 3rd, and we will be discussing Greenville, Texas, and its infamous banner that was posted over Lee Street in the early to mid-1900s, saying, Greenville, Texas, the blackest land, the whitest people. Dr. Phillips, is it okay if I share this interview?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Let's get started. Now, this sign, I read that supposedly this slogan was not initially intended to be racist. Can you explain the origins of the sign?
I think that is disingenuous. I think that that was always the intent. I think the racial tones were unmistakable from the beginning, and I think it's what people in Greenville like to say. Here's the explanation, the rationale. In Greenville, traditionally, what they said was, when they say white, it means pure, you know, good, whatever. But that in itself is racialized. It's the association of whiteness with all that's desirable and blackness, you know, in terms of human qualities, with what's negative and bad. And so even if you accept that rationale, that they're not specifically talking about white people, it has a racial overtone. And so I'm skeptical of that explanation. And it's important to realize the sign went up, as I recall, in 1921, which was when the Ku Klux Klan had come back, and in Texas it became a major force. And of course, Dallas is not too far away from Greenville, and it is thought to be the largest per capita chapter of the Ku Klux Klan in the early 20th century. And in fact, the Dallas Dennis Hiram Wesley Evans is going to eventually become the national leader of the Klan. So in that atmosphere, the idea that the phrase "the whitest people" would be innocent, I find highly dubious. And it was clear people understood it that way, which is why in 1965 the sign was taken down after we had the passage of the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act, and the Civil Rights Act in 1964, and the Voting Rights Act in 1965. It became an embarrassment as Texas was trying to really attract outside investment. Apparently, John Connally, the governor at the time, who I think early in his career had national ambitions, urged that sign be taken down. And so I think that there was always that subtext.
Right. You provide interesting information about the Ku Klux Klan. I hadn't read any information on it being close to that area.
Yeah, Greenville is you know, Hunt County is you know, close to Dallas County. You know, it's a short drive.
Right.
In modern terms, it was a longer drive then because of the roads and the types of automobiles they had. But it's always been within the Dallas orbit, and of course, Dallas and Hunt County and all that area was very much connected with cotton production in the 19th century, early 20th century, and that's what the blackest land refers to. They're referring to the rich soil. But certainly people, you know, not too far from Greenville, you also have Paris, Texas, another East Texas town that was a scene of repeated violence from the end of the 19th century into the early 20th century, 1890s to, you know, early 1920s, repeated lynchings. This is a place that was always on the knife's edge of white racial violence against black people. And so that, I think that is, provides a very big context for the sign itself.
Right. I agree. Do you know what the demographic was like back then in Greenville, and like, how did the people of the town respond, and the people of the color of the town respond to this very large and public banner?
Well, I'm not aware of the specific demographics. I will say that Hunt County was very much involved in cotton production and therefore had a very large African-American workforce before the end of the Civil War as slaves, and then sharecropping, of course, and tenant farming in East Texas was a major part of the economic system at the time. So they had a larger than average African-American population for the state of Texas, and they were very much dependent. The prosperity of the area depended on first unpaid black work and then low paid or virtually unpaid black work throughout that time period from the 1800s till we get to a more modern period in the mid 20th century.
Right. Okay. So I read, this is kind of one of the last things I wanted to discuss. I read that the slogan changed in the 1960s, somewhere around there, to "the blackest land, the nicest people."
Which, again, I think makes it clear that everyone understood what was being said with a nod and a wink. The change wouldn't have taken place if there had been an innocent meeting, because, I mean, it's not like the racial politics of Greenville dramatically changed in the 1960s, but the civil rights movement had raised consciousness of these sort of types of racist indirections, verbal deflections that took place in the culture. And so I think that that was, and that only lasted, so they had the sign in its original form until 1965, and I think it was 1973 that they finally took down the sign for good. And so there was an 8-year period where it said the nicest people, but everyone knew what the sign meant. So when they took it down supposedly for repairs in 73, it never went back up. It was an embarrassment, and everyone in Greenville is aware that's what the town is famous for. And by the way, that attitude is still in the town. There was a church that moved, it's a Nigerian church, and it's called the Redeemed Christian Church of God, and they built their North American headquarters near Greenville, Texas, in the early, it was like 2005 that took place, and there was a lot of discomfort in the town of Greenville about a Nigerian church establishing its headquarters near that town, who that church might bring to the headquarters, and clearly it was a racist reaction. So that's more than three decades after the sign was taken down. Greenville still has that atmosphere, and the racial tension is there on the surface. The nicest people, that was kind of an interesting way to try to mask the history behind that sign. But I would say it is not a matter of pride that the sign was up there, because that is, in fact, the thing that Greenville is most famous for. You find references all over the internet. If you type in Greenville, that sign, the slogan on that sign comes up.
Right. So when they took it down for repairs and it never went up, do you think that was like deliberate, that they were saying that it was coming down for repairs?
Yeah. Clearly they never had the intention of replacing it. Doing that gave them a means of not acknowledging the message of the sign for most of its history, but at the same time gave them an excuse to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of a national embarrassment because it got some coverage, but why do you think that it lasted so long, like 50 to 60 years?
Because the attitudes the sign reflected were completely mainstream and accepted. Greenville is a very rural place. It is per capita, you know, less educated in terms of, you know, how much schooling each resident has in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. But if you went to Dallas, Texas at the same time and you looked at the contents of the Dallas Morning News, and they have cartoons of African leaders who are establishing these newly independent countries in Africa in the 1950s and 1960s. And the editorial cartoons portray these leaders in the crudest stereotypes, with bones to their nose, jungle costumes. They're portrayed as cannibals. And that's in the Dallas Morning News, a major American city at the same time. Mm-hmm. And this is, a city that, you know, has far greater per capita wealth. There's a university there. Greenville is much more isolated from the rest of the world. And so I think it's reasonable to assume that there was a lot of support for what the sign was saying. And remember, too, a lot of East Texas is filled with sundown towns, if you're not familiar with that. These are towns that African Americans knew, they just were aware that you don't stay in the town when the sun sets, that you're going to be in physical danger if you do. You're not wanted there. You're wanted there to work during the daylight hours, and then you're supposed to leave instantly. That sign, even though Greenville had a large black population, they couldn't force their African-American population to leave at sunset. Nevertheless, that served as a sign for anyone traveling through Greenville who was black to get out, to not be there overnight, to not linger too long. And so, in effect, it was almost like much cruder sundown town signs, where they use the N-word frequently. Towns would post signs warning black people to leave. This was, in effect, sort of the same thing for any visitors, any travelers. Get out of here once mm-hmm. your business is done. Okay. And I think that was just very widely accepted.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your information and your time on this subject matter. I really appreciate it.
I hope that was helpful, and I hope that it gave you what you were looking for.